Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Give me that daddy butter.
They played this at Fro Field in the fourth quarter, and the place went crazy.
Yeah. They played at the clubs afterward, too, Tim. Harpo's, my house, and some of the hot spots there.
At my house, apparently the knees, man.
Yeah, it's just shoulder to shoulder, people. It's unbelievable.
Is it a pony?
Yeah, if you're 21, 22 years old, it'd be a pony.
What if you're 41 in 10 days?
If you're my age and you're there with a couple of other fathers because your sons are there, you feel like you're ready for the rest home. What am I doing here? But it would be a great time if you're in college, yeah, that's for sure.
Well, why don't
those
we go down
fun.
There
those
for the War
time.
Eagle game?
Yeah.
Rematch of the SEC Championship in 2013, and the country's a-buzzin'. What time is the game kicking off on Saturday?
Well, right before the first quarter. I'm not sure. I think it was a TBA up until this weekend.
TJ Moe's on with us here, brought to you by Joe Bacardi. Is there an open for this Plowhawk? All right, go ahead. And
hit the open, please.
It's time for Mizzou Monday, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's former slot receiver and 590's own TJ Moe.
Underneath, TJ Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45.
Made one of the most famous plays in Missouri history.
Left sideline, he's got a seam. TJ Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house.
And now he's talking all things Tigers.
Missouri, good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
Thanks to Joe Bacardi.
That's funny every time we hear it.
Locations in Eureka, Webster Grove,
don't talk over the open.
Benton, and Tapawingo Golf Club. Find out how they can help you with events and catering at joebacardis.com.
Doug, how about that?
Pretty nice.
Nice open, TJ.
Pretty
nice.
That's
open.
The old Seamaster. Hello, TJ.
That was unnecessary, wasn't it?
I love that's the old Seamaster doing a lot of production, Jack. Hey, what time is the game on Saturday? That's why we have you on, because we're too lazy to look it up ourselves.
Yeah, I can't
be. I believe it's 6:30.
You're not even sure. That's perfect. Well, I know CBS has Alabama and Vanderbilt, and I realize this is totally after the fact, but how great would it be to have Stingray's team, Mississippi State, between the hedges? Instead, they have Vanderbilt, although Vanderbilt looks pretty damn good right now. It's just they can't shake the fact that they're Vanderbilt, and so you automatically assume Alabama's going to steamroll them in Nashville on Saturday. At least I can understand people thinking that. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, the line is pretty high. I think the line may be similar to what Auburn and...
Yeah, I think it's like in the 18 range. Yeah.
Yep. Which that Vanderbilt defense is really good. If Derek Mason has one calling card, that's it. He can coach defense, and it's working. He still doesn't have a great offense, but Kyle Sherman might be the most improved quarterback in the league. So that is the game to watch. Probably not the Missouri-Auburn game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's talk about what took place Saturday. But really, looking at a big picture element of this discussion, you know, they got shipped, and I thought they would lose, and you know, I was off on my lock of the week, so it's not like I can run around peacocking about calling games right. But I said I would give 7.5 points and take Purdue. That's because it just became clear that this is an absolute disaster, and you and I talked about it after the Missouri State game. So this is before even the South Carolina and Purdue games. But I never would have thought they would lose 35-3 to Purdue.
No. Then it was 28-3 after at halftime, and unfortunately for Mizzou, Tom Brady doesn't play for them, so they weren't coming back.
No,
and there wasn't a lot to it. That's the first time I can remember at no point in the game thinking, oh, okay, maybe. I mean, there was nothing, and what you figured out real quick is the defense. What you saw against South Carolina, where they looked and proved it, you went right back to the first half of Missouri State, and the offense. If Mario Crockett's not 100%, they have nothing. I mean, even the line looked awful. There was a play, and I say a play because, you know, it didn't actually happen. There was four penalties before they could get the playoff, three false starts and a holding. I mean, that in its core is bad coaching. And I have been screamed from the mountaintops that I love Barry Odom. I think he's a great coach. But he would tell you that was a really poorly coached game. And thus far this season, the team hasn't been coached well.
Can we just write this off to the fact that Purdue is a juggernaut and has been dominating the Big Ten for decades?
Nice.
Well, I think they've won 10 games in like 3 or 4 years.
Well,
I mean, they are so terrible. However, Jeff Brohm's good. You guys remember, Tim, from betting last year, how many times did you bet on Western Kentucky?
Western Kentucky was a nice play.
yes, this is him. I mean, this is his first year at Purdue, and that offense can play. And I know they were putting in backups and things, but they had 13 guys catch a pass on, 13 different guys catch a pass on Saturday. And they were just all over the place. I mean, Missouri didn't even, it didn't even look like they were trying to stop them. And, I'm always hesitant to say, you know, the players quit, because it didn't look like they quit. It looked like they were incompetent. Like they were out of place. It didn't look like they belonged on the field athletically, because they couldn't make a tackle. And it's not like Purdue was running by you. There just wasn't much to it. And then, like I said, I mean, you guys should see my Twitter mentions. There was 400 or 500 people losing their minds in the middle of the game, and we had some Georgia fans trying to trade us back to the Big 12. We had one girl said, "I paid $70 for this ticket. I could be $70 drunk right now."
Yeah,
nice. It was not a fun game to watch, and I imagine most of you guys didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I did. I did watch a decent amount of it. I was truly in awe. I legitimately was in awe. And, you know, I realize you're, as we were discussing last week, I'm horrified by this. TJ's almost 15 years younger than me. And so you didn't necessarily experience the fun and games of Woody's Wagon and Bob Stull and really the first couple years of Larry Smith. But I would have to put this in the ranks of some of those 70-plus nothing defeats. There was a 77-0, was that A&M? And then 73-0 was
the Norman
OU,
Conquest.
The Norman Conquest.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was that 66, was it 66-0 against Kansas State?
Yes, that was 1999. I loved K-State in that game. I remember because I was working at Little Rock and told everybody about K-State. What's that?
This is the one I remember. The one that I barely remember. I was 11 when this happened, maybe 10. I think it was the September 11th reschedule game against Michigan State.
Yes, that's another one that people say. But here's the thing. The difference on all of those was that Missouri was a heavy underdog. I don't know how big of an underdog they were against Michigan State. I'm certain they were an underdog. It's just a matter of how big of an underdog.
Yeah, but Michigan State was only 7-5 that year, so they weren't great.
So the point being, you were a 7.5-point favorite against what has been a doormat in that conference for decades, and you just got to the point where they had to take their foot off the gas so as to not make it even worse in the second half. That's why I put it up there with those embarrassments in Missouri football. And there are plenty to choose from. There haven't been many recently on the field. But now you have this. And I don't know how the program, which is already wobbly under Barry Odom, recovers. From my standpoint, TJ, and I know you disagree, so that's why I'm looking forward to having the discussion. From my standpoint, looking at the schedule, looking at maybe Idaho and maybe Connecticut as wins, and maybe there's one other one out there. And that's where, and we all realize, I think, that that's being positive, that it gets him to 4 wins. And I think fresh off of what just took place with Kim Anderson, Barry Odom is not going to get a third year. Your opinion?
I have, let's say this, I tweeted out at before the game that zero chance Barry Odom gets fired before the end of next season. If the rest of this year looks like Purdue, he would get fired. And listen, he knows that. He came in after the game. If you guys watched the press conference, he looked somber. He looked, I mean, as Gabe Darman put it, he said he looked like somebody stole his wife and shot his dog. I mean, he just totally dejected compared to last week against South Carolina, where he was thinking what I was thinking. Man, you played right with that team. The score didn't look good, but you're up 10-0, and you had some easy mistakes to fix, of which go ahead and catch the punt, of which go ahead and catch the ball. I mean, like, really simple things. That's not what this Purdue game looks like. So if the game comes in and it looks like you're over, you're outcoached, and it looks like that throughout the year, because as you pointed out, Tim, there's not a ton of the SEC East and the SEC as a whole this year is interesting. There's no good teams, but there's not too many bad teams either. Like, Kentucky just beat South Carolina, and after last week, I thought, hey, I've watched 2 weeks of South Carolina. They look pretty good. This team might win the East.
Yeah, but you know they lost their best player, and that's a monster hit to them.
Yes, and that's right. But even so, I mean, Kentucky, I didn't think was a great team. I still don't. And South Carolina, I think, look, I don't know about NC State, but I know they played right with a Missouri team that doesn't look very good. And then you watch Florida and Tennessee play. And neither, you know, Tennessee, Butch Jones does need to be fired right now. He is awful. And he lets up the game-winning Hail Mary to Florida again. Like you just watch the teams in the East. Yeah, Vanderbilt's right there, as you pointed out. I mean, they have a good quarterback in Kyle Shermer. They have a really good defense. So that – lead you all to think, okay, if it's a bunch of average teams, well, you're not better than any of these teams on paper today. And your offense looks like, if you can't run by a guy, this is the most frustrating thing for me as a wide receiver. If they can't run by a guy, every one of these wide receivers are worthless. You either catch a screen or you run by them. There's no plays that go across the middle of the field, and when they've tried to run them, they drop the ball.
What happened on the Jamon Moore touchdown that turned into an interception? I realize I might have been the only person still watching at that point, but what in the world was that?
That was Jamon's fault. Your job as a receiver is to hold the numbers, is what they say, and I don't know, I think the number is like 7.5 yards from out of bounds, I believe is where it's at. So your job is to hold the numbers, keep the defender on your inside shoulder and catch the ball outside. Instead, he faded all the way to the end zone, caught the ball on the inside, and didn't bring it in right away. So when he cradled it, the guy just ripped it out of his hands. And that's 100% Jamon's fault. That couldn't have been a better throw. That was one of the only good throws on the day, because Drew Lock has proven against virtually every Power 5 team that he is incapable of making good decisions. I mean, that interception was awful. I think it was against cover three. They had a linebacker bump out, and he just threw it right to him. The second interception, not his fault, but he has not made good decisions against talented opponents since he's been at Missouri. And if you have that, along with a defense that's struggling, then everybody else is falling apart too. You know, it's like if your quarterback's not playing well, and then you can't tackle anybody, the offensive line, they fell apart for the first time in 2 years. I mean, they looked atrocious. There wasn't one guy on the team outside of Corey Spatone who punted for about 900 yards on Saturday that looked like they could play football well.
Yeah, and when you see the fans leave like they did, and then you think that they just had, I think, the lowest-rated recruiting class in the SEC, it's hard to find much of anything positive to cling to right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I am as dejected as any of you guys, and I have talked to Odo. I talked to him a few times last week. He's actually very confident. I haven't talked to him after the Purdue game, but he was thinking the same thing I was, thinking, hey, there's just a few things. I mean, really, the fixes from South Carolina were really simple. Get Jonathan Johnson out of there, he can't catch a punt. Okay, move in the next guy who also can't catch a punt. You know, it's like they have literally fumbled every punt they've tried to catch for two games now. They've only tried two, dropped both of them. So, okay, fix that. Just put anybody back there. Like, I was slow and basically good for nothing except for going back there and catching the ball. And then we didn't turn the ball over and our offense could go do something. We could hand it to somebody who could score a touchdown like Henry Josie. You know, there's simple little things that you have to figure out. Part of this is on the players. There is nothing you can do to go back there and make a guy catch a punt. The amount of times that you go back there and practice catching punts, I mean, you start practice with that, you're in the middle of practice, they have guys in your face, that you catch thousands of punts. And if you go out there during the game and you can't do it, how's coach going to do that for you? But there are other things that certainly points to a lack of coaching, and that is the false start penalties, that is the tackling, that is, just even calling plays. Like I said, there's nothing in the middle of the field. Are they allergic to catching a ball inside the hashes? Because there hasn't really been anybody do that at Missouri since I was there.
Much like the Rams, it appears that Missouri's best player is their punter. But what did you think about his little gyration after he kicked one that got down about the 2-yard line?
Well, punters are in their own little world, man. And punters and kickers, and in fact, they're their own little clique because they don't actually really practice. Like, it's the weirdest thing that they have to be out there for 3 hours with everybody else practicing when they actually only practice for about 20 minutes. And they otherwise are just sitting there kind of working on their drops and working. I mean, it's just they're in their own little world. Not that they're not a part of the team because they go to all the meetings and stuff like that. But, he's just out there putting the ball when you ask him to.
But, I mean, the celebrating when you're down like that, is that okay? You have any problem with that?
Yes, I have a problem with that. But, I've been on the bandwagon for years of thinking, how in the hell does a DB get away with jumping up and celebrating after I just had a 25-yard catch? But they do that because that's the one good thing they did today.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have an issue with that. But like I said, punters are in their own little world. And are you going to reprimand them now? Can you reprimand the rest of the team for sucking?
No. I mean, you hate to take away the exuberant. You hate to take away anything positive that happens and say, hey, don't have any emotion. At the same time, you got to be probably smart enough not
context,
to celebrate
gentlemen. Context,
too much when you're getting killed.
Right? Context.
Yeah. You know? I think you're right.
TJ's with us, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's. And Doug, that pizza. Oh, my word.
That's it. What you just did.
Here's the situation.
What did you see get at Joe Bacardi's? It was a chicken something, not spadini. It was something else you see.
Really?
Back in the day, years ago.
Oh.
I don't know.
Now I got to go take a look at the menu. Yeah.
And then make that sound for real.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to go do it right now, actually. But TJ, here is, as I know you and I both nerd out on college football like the Dickens, the SEC is going to have, God, I don't know, I'd set the over-under at 4.5 coaching changes at the end of the year. I think that's fair to say. Or yeah, in between
Texas
now and the end of the year.
Tennessee.
Yeah, Texas A&M, well, Tennessee.
At least three.
Texas A&M, Tennessee. I'll say Missouri. I know you won't. You think Ole Miss could be?
Well, Ole Miss has an interim in there right now.
Yeah. I just didn't know if he would be in a spot, but then they blew it against Cal on Saturday night.
And you could be looking at LSU. I'm serious. Ed Orgeron, dude hasn't won an SEC game, I think, ever.
Not on the road. He's won an SEC game. He hasn't won an SEC road game.
There you go.
Yeah. So my point is this, and I know you know where I'm going with it, that Missouri and possibly Arkansas, by the way. That Missouri
he's under 500 at Arkansas.
Right.
Yeah.
Missouri will be up against a bunch of, much less whatever's going on around the country, a bunch of competitors in their own conference. And all due respect, it is Missouri. And even though we enjoyed the hell out of 07, 08, 10, 13, and 14, the power in comparison to some of those other schools is not going to be there, especially considering the state of things. So how difficult, if it does in fact make it difficult, so I don't want to suppose for you, but how difficult does it make it for Jim Stark and for the university to handle the decision and then what direction to go with a coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the other thing to rope into that is, I don't know whether this is a positive or a negative, but you're building like a however many $80, $90, $100 million facility in the south end zone right now. So do you want a coaching change right in the middle of that? And, you know, as far as getting donations and things, I don't know. But is it worse to keep a coach that you want to fire? You know, I should preface all this with saying I think Barry Odom deserves a third year. But, you got Chip Kelly out there, who I think would be phenomenal at Tennessee. But even with the athletes at Ole Miss, I could see that, and it'd be kind of an interesting fit. You have Les Miles. I don't know that anybody wants Les Miles, but that's the interesting thing about Missouri fans groveling for him, is that I don't think he's really a wanted commodity right now. Everybody saw that, okay, you can win a lot of games at LSU, and your 2011 team was really good, but you never could find a quarterback. You had Zach Mettenberger, and your team was good then. Outside of that, you couldn't find a quarterback. Your offense belonged in the 90s, and you played good defense, really couldn't score any points, so you'd lose by a little bit when it mattered. And that happened year after year. Now, he won like 77% of his games while he was there, or something crazy, but he, I don't know who the guys out there would be for you to go get. And do you want to fire a guy and hire a guy you don't want just in the name of change? Are you better off saying, okay, we'd like to fire him, but let's give him another year and see what happens there? Like I said, I actually think he, if done properly, could turn the whole thing around, but you got to get the right guy.
What number? Let me ask you this, TJ. What number of wins, in your mind, clearly one of the, at this moment, few Barry Odom supporters out there in the Missouri fan base, what number of wins is enough for you to say he needs a third year?
I think you have to be Connecticut and Idaho for sure, and I think you need to see progress. I've been saying this since the beginning of the year. It's not the number of wins. Like, if we had gone through this season and he had four wins, but he played, Florida into double overtime, and they lost to Tennessee on a last-second field goal, and they went through it like that, and you're like, this team's making significant progress. And they went into overtime with Auburn and lost on a two-point conversion, right? If you saw all that, nobody would be looking at his firing. Even with only four wins, you're saying, these guys are right there. All right, let's get another year of this. But if you look like Purdue the rest of the year, like I said, if the team looks like Purdue the rest of the year, yes, I think he's fired.
The thing, and that's the thing, and I couldn't agree with you more. So often, if anything, usually I'm on the conservative end of coaching changes. So often, especially as Brooke Baldwin says, Doug, in 2017,
right?
In 2017, coaches, people want to whack coaches after 1 year, and I'm just like, God, I really disagree with that. But I think there are two things going against Odom. First off, what you just made reference to, it's the way they're losing. I mean, this is awful. It's not even competitive. And again, it's bad teams. And South Carolina's loss which had Deebo Samuel been healthy throughout the course of the season, and as we've seen with the SEC East, who knows what could have wound up happening with South Carolina in the SEC East. It may not have looked as bad as it felt last Sunday morning, but now South Carolina is going to look bad by the end of the year, most likely. And then also, of course, the Purdue thing will always be there. And then also what I made reference to at the beginning, Missouri is fresh off of giving a guy an extra year in the name of doing what they thought was the right thing, and it was an absolute disaster. I think I don't think it won't allow that to happen. And so I am an advocate of letting a guy get another shot. But the way that it's going, and considering, I'm not saying that this is right, but considering what happened with the basketball program, I think it will factor in to moving on from Barry Odom.
I think you're 100% right, and I think also not helping is the hiring of Tonzo Martin, and there never being more excitement about a basketball season in my lifetime, probably. So that's not helping. When people are like, see, look, this is what you have if you just do pull the trigger. Oh, guess what? That's not what happens every time you fire a coach. And in most cases, if the program is way down, you don't just get the number one recruit in the country who wanted to come to your school anyway and pull in a coach who, you know, brought in the top four or five recruiting class. That just doesn't happen overnight most of the time. And as you pointed out, it depends on who's out there and what are the openings are. And it's not just the SEC you're fighting with. The SEC, I think, is starting to realize they blew it with their coaches and their hirings over the years. And they have to now get to where the Big Ten East is. And they have to really dump the Brinks truck on some driveways and go get a Chip Kelly. And go get, see if you can pull John Gruden, who's probably never coming out of retirement. But if I'm Tennessee, I know he's got interest. If there's one place he's coming out of retirement for, it's probably Tennessee. So go see if he'll take $10 million a year. I don't know. Why would you leave Monday Night Football? But see if you can get him. It depends on who's out there. And or else, take another year, see what happens. And that way you, I think it always looks bad if you don't give a guy 3 years. I just don't think it's a good look. I think it's bad for other coaches who come there and say, man, you got to give us time. So that I think that is a deterrent for coaches to want to come to your school if you fire a guy that quickly. But also, if you do another year, it makes it look like you gave somebody more time, and you wait for the... I mean, it's never good to be going up against Tennessee and Texas A&M, who have so much more money than you do to pay anybody, and a much more long-standing history of winning. So I think you're right about the Kim Anderson thing. I don't think that helps at all, but I think there's some things playing in his favor, even the third year as well.
That's TJ Moe, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's, with us every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour, talking Missouri. TJ, appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys. See ya.
There he is, TJ Moe. The Cat will be on the road the remainder of the week. Cardinals in Cincinnati.
I don't recognize
that. I know you don't recognize that. And then where do they go from Cincinnati?
Pittsburgh.
And then back home for four with the Cubs.
They're not so good. They're not so good against the Central.
We can just get hot. We can still win this baby.
Nice. The Cat, when he's on the road, is brought to you by Four Seasons Penske Truck. Just look for the big gold truck. Four Seasons.
I'm still going to bring a lot of suits of clothes with me.
Yeah, I think you will. The Cat, I'm looking at the Joe Bacardi's menu. They sponsor the TJ. Chicken a la Mario.
Chicken spadini.
That's on there.
That might have been the thing.
Chicken marsala, chicken Giuseppe, chicken parmesan, chicken Madiga, chicken Florentine, chicken cacciatore, and then fried chicken. And you say fried chicken in the oven is like a...
Fried chicken in the oven is a treat.
See? Right there.
I think it's more of a treat in my belly.
Hey, at the top of the Tiger board right now, Doug, the first thread is this. While I'm at it, those damned anthracite uniforms.
It's just horrible.
Had uniform numbers you couldn't read from the stands because they'd muted their contrast with stripes they put in them. Mm-hmm. Grr. Nothing went right on Saturday. I just had a miserable day. I needed a pacifier badly, but instead I just drank a lot of beer. That helped.
When you're Oregon, and you're a pretty good team, fighting for a national title in some years, and you're wearing different uniforms, and you got... night there spending all this millions of dollars, it's kind of cool. When you're a team that's bad and you're changing uniforms, it's stupid. You come across as, look, we're cool too. You're not cool.
Tim, you tweeted out one of the best ones of, we're not utilizing the punter's talents or capabilities, that one early on in the game.
Put it on first down if you need to.
I feel like we're wasting the talents of Corey Fittoni. That was one of the Tiger Board
But, Doug, there are many in our community, I say community, that don't put as much importance on the uniforms as you.
They gave us the Shishawali excuse that this is for the kid. This is for the recruits. You got zero out of Missouri last year. Zero. That's how much they think about your uniform.
We're not fashion forward here.
No. Go back to the old traditional Missouri uniforms where you look like Missouri. Not yellow, not bumblebee, not anthracite, not all white. Missouri uniforms! I am tired of it!
Back in my day, we didn't have uniforms. We would hunt down a ferret and we'd sew a uniform and we were glad to have it.
Well, you could sew. You had needle and thread. We didn't have that. We just used our teeth.
Doug, I have an announcement. Here it is. Introducing the second annual Lemmings Open on Thursday, October 5th at Aberdeen Golf Club in beautiful Eureka, Missouri.
Right, that's a good course out there.
The tournament, I've never played it.
That's a good course.
The tournament is presented by Bud Light and Gold's Gym and is benefiting Birdies for Bipolar, a nonprofit aiming to raise awareness for mental illness and assist individuals living with those conditions. The tournament costs $500 per foursome and includes breakfast, lunch, 18 holes of golf, cart, drinks, and trophies for the winning groups. Sign up your foursome at InsideSTL.com and click on the Lemmings Open page. So that is coming up on October 5th and October 6th and 7th, Iggy. It's the Ride Her Cup. And Doug, I am a captain. The Plowboy is an honorary captain, and then I have a co-captain.
There's everyone is a captain in this thing, okay?
It's a lot of chiefs and not many Indians. There's one guy in the foursome who's got no title at all. How's he feel?
I don't know how it works. I really don't.
He'll be a captain. Iggy, can they all be captains?
I'm not golfing. I'm kind of just the supporter of the group, kind of the, I don't know what you call it, the face of the group.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're the face of your group and a co-captain.
And a Tim group, too, so. Yeah.
You're the Michael Jordan. Like, he shows up at every President's and Ryder Cup and does nothing but smoke cigars and
gamble.
Sit there.
What is it? The Ryder?
The Ride, space, her. You see, it's not juvenile.
Who came up with that?
I think that might have been
Travis.
I think it might have been Ninnings. Ninnings.
Well, I'm disappointed in the name.
It's just an opportunity to take a peek at Tim's calves. And that's all it is.
It's also an opportunity to play golf and give yourself some sort of bogus title while you play. I am an honorary captain. I'm a captain for real.
I'm a co-captain, but I'm still a co-captain. Captain.
And then on following the first day of the Ride Her Cup, we will have the event right here on the patio at Kirkwood Brewhouse. October 6th, Ryan Kelly, Clay Travis, and myself will be hosting a happy hour. Come on by, Doug. The water is warm. It's going to be an old-fashioned pony.
Tell Clay the name of the tournament. He'll get a real chuckle out of it.
Yeah, he will like that. Right. I take that to Brooks, too. So that's coming up. Also, Doug, our fourth annual charity wiffle ball tournament benefiting Birdies for Bipolar is just around the corner. It's presented by Bud Light, DB Sports Bar, Gold's Gym, Country Financial, and 7-Up. The tournament takes place on Saturday, September 30th at Francis Park in South City, starting at 10 a.m. Sign up your team of four players today on InsideSTL.com for only $150 per team. This includes round-robin play and group winners advancing to the knockout rounds. There will be barbecue, beer, mixed drinks, and water for purchase on-site provided by DB Sports Bar. So sign your team up today and invite your friends to come watch you capture the wiffle ball crown. There it is. Doug, all these events are coming up, and Ryan Kelly is a sponsor of the program, isn't he? You know, he's not just a sponsor. He's the title sponsor of the program.
He is the sponsor, and we are happy to have him. I don't know how many years it's been now, but it's been several.
About eight?
Right. He helps us out, and hopefully we steer some business in his direction. By now, everyone should know that this is just a place you go if you need to refinance, or if you're looking for a house. That's a hot real estate market right now. Interest rates are very low. You can get a lot of money, a lot of house for your money right now if you get the right mortgage lender, and the right guy would be Ryan Kelly. Low rates, fantastic service. Ryan Kelly is the guy to go to, number one mortgage originator in the entire Midwest and growing all the time. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team, they work hard, so you don't have to. So if you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why you want to go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-90.
Nice.
Call Ryan.
Nice read. Nice read.
At 314-781-9700. Or visit him online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Yeah, it's Ryan Kelly. He's a title sponsor.
Right, he is.
I mean, he makes this thing happen. Somebody just texted me, asked Doug about Dustin Pedroia and Ezekiel Elliott. The hell? Why would I ask you about
this? This is about fantasy stuff.
I was in the baseball fantasy semifinals this
week. Oh, congratulations.
Weekend, and I've been looking for a second sacker. I didn't help with the Keystone. I have all year. Nice. And on Friday, I say, hey, I got a chance. Dustin Pedroia is available. He's hit like 350 over the last week and a half. I'm going to get him. He's hitting leadoff tonight for Boston. He'll get a lot. I'm going to. He went 0-for-9. He went 0-for-9. He's one of three players to ever go 0-for-9 in a game. The next night, 0-for-4. Dustin Pedroia took an 0-for-13.
All right, the numbers can be very confusing with the metrics. So, how many hits did he have?
He didn't have a hit.
I understand.
Oh, who goes 0-for-9?
Did he have any good at-bats in there, though?
He might have fouled off a pitch.
Maybe he moved the runner over, and then they got a standing ovation for it.
And then as the top seed, somehow I had to play the third seed. And the second seed plays the sixth seed. A computer glitch got me again.
So who's in the finals?
Three players hurt just this week. Malware is the issue. The top seed should play the bottom seed. Trojan virus got me. Malware and glitches. So happens every year.
Who beat you, baby?
Glory hallelujah.
What?
Wow. Glory hallelujah. This guy hit 20 home runs this week. I hit 15. I had a big week.
Clip that
not
off
enough.
And play it a lot before we go
because
up
of the
air.
Malware.
Micah, would you say an outstanding job from Luke today?
Outstanding job from Luke.
Let me ask you a question there, fantasy guru, if I may. How many Cardinals do you have on your fantasy team?
One.
Well, there's your problem. Am I wrong, Tim?
One.
Yeah, you need as many Cardinals as you can.
Well, I would like to have some.
Let me just tell you something. You actively root against your hometown team by not putting any on your fantasy roster.
I couldn't
except
get any.
One, except
they were taking...
one. You know what you did?
I had Rosenthal. He got hurt.
You know what you did? You set karma against you. So if you have any beefs, your beef, sir, is with karma, and you brought it on to yourself.
I don't think so.
Yeah, man.
I had Rosie, and he got hurt. Well, that
What's
hurt
the name
me.
Of that team that beat Doug again?
Glory hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That's who I lost to.
That adds, so who's the Glory hallelujah playing?
I don't have any idea. Oh, he's playing non-gay.
Oh, the non-gay. I think the non-gay is the defending champion.
Well, non-gay was seeded second, but somehow he gets to play the sixth seed.
Oh, that's because he's the defending champion.
I don't think so.
Seedings can be a little confusing.
Yeah,
it
is.
Yourself,
heaven forbid the higher seed play the lowest seed. Wouldn't want to do it that way.
Well, maybe this will cheer you up. Bill Simmons decided to stop by Mike Francesa's show.
Oh, you finally got him on the phone.
All right. What
Simmons
say?
Picks Rams, Chargers, and Jags, and we'll see how things work out. Bill,
poorly. I can answer that.
Much.
They worked out poorly.
Hey, Mike, tell everyone you're not retiring yet.
Excuse me?
You're not retiring. It's not happening. I know it's getting close, but it's not actually going to happen. I think you stay.
No.
Where can I put my bet in? I want plus 340 odds that you stay.
What are you putting the odds on right now? The odds that I'm staying
I
at?
I think you were plus 600 before last week.
Right.
And I think the odds went way down to plus 340.
Plus 340.
I think you're very needed at a certain station.
Well, thanks.
I predict you stay.
I appreciate that. But I loved you doing the picks, and we look forward to seeing what happens. And let's see. If you win, you have to come back and do it again and defend your crown. So let's see what happens.
It was an absolute honor.
Okay. Number one guy. Millions of dollars a year doing that.
Don't be jelly.
Well, I am jelly. How can you not be jelly?
It was like a small fire down near the end of the dugout, and Corey Patterson stopped it out.
What? Well, I missed that. I don't know.
But now, who was he picking against? Because it sounds
he
like
he lost all three of those games.
Yeah, but who was he picking?
But
I
lost my lock of the week, so I can't. Who is he picking against?
Well, he said, "Well, see what you do. If you win, you got to come back and defend your crown." Who's he going against?
Doug, who's he going?
No one.
I don't know. I haven't been listening.
There's no crown.
I think it was Francesa and his producers and Bill.
Oh, is that right?
And
or the guy was talking about Bill. Him not retiring, and he just wanted to distract with something else.
That's a tight read.
Yeah,
it's a tight read.
I watched a little poker last night.
I haven't watched poker in a long time. What were they?
It was still exciting. Series? It was like that World Poker.
No, yeah, the World Poker. It's on Fox Sports Midwest. It was on after the Cardinal
game. It was still on.
Yeah.
And I was watching a little guy took a bad beat.
Doug,
guy,
bad beats will happen.
Yeah, bad beats
guy
will
pulled
happen.
An eight at the river.
Ah, two outer.
Mm. I think it was the grinder.
Mizraki?
The grinder took
Mizraki?
A beating, yeah.
He's a player, man.
I got 2-4 offsuit. Derp.
Nice. Yeah, I like his table image. You know what? Because... nothing seems to bother him. He got bluffed off a big pot. The guy showed him late in the game. Guy had a big stack, and it looked like he didn't care.
Did you know? That obviously you're trying to do that.
Lay off that guy from,
that's like one of my
from the city. I don't acknowledge.
Hey, you're gonna see him tomorrow, aren't you?
He's a nice fellow.
Did you know? Obviously, you were trying to do that.
Right. Doug, it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. Taste me. Hey, real quickly.
Yeah.
You got to come by my basement.
Because I'd like to show the work that Elysium has done. You can keep the music going, Plowhawk. But then if I do that, then people talk about like my countertops or something.
Right. What kind of countertops you got on social media?
Thank you.
You don't.
But Elysium did great work.
You got granite row.
I got what's
style
the,
stone.
What's you
the,
know what you do?
What's the thing? What do you have like when you're in college?
Formica?
Yes, that's what I have.
Okay.
You just say they did great work, and then your lemmings will immediately flock to Elysium. They do great work.
Oh, my God.
That's undisputed.
But it is, it's insane. Like, I was kind of picturing like making it like a sports bar kind of theme. Then Nana Marie, who does have some design talent, designed it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like another house down here. But Elysium made it happen, and I cannot recommend them enough. And they do all kinds of things. It's not just finishing basements, kitchens, bathrooms, home additions.
Built-ins, if you don't have those, you need them.
That's right. That's right. ERDSTL.com. ERDSTL.com. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects. I can speak to that firsthand. You can call them anytime. ERDSTL.com. Elysium Restoration Trust is one of the things they build well. Okay, here we go, Doug. Hi. Wow. The local news just rated your eatery as number 6 out of 100 when it came to best combination of fries and glory holes. Color me impressed. Oh, you think the waffle fries are a bit undercooked? Let's warm them up a bit, boy. Oh. Why not dip them in my... Nope.
Who was that, Tim?
Steamy beef crevices for 6 seconds just to get a...
No. Who was it?
Tunnels 12,000.
Tunnels 12,000 has been suspended. He's been suspended.
He's got a
period of 2 days.
But he sent it a picture of himself.
That's not him.
But that gentleman's from Huntley and has a chin strap beard.
It isn't.
Guys, Plops here. Happy chest day. When people in history classes years from now look back at what took place this past weekend, they'll be shocked. I've decided that I will forever refer to this past weekend as Brett Hall, because between Friday evening and Sunday night, I knocked boots with 16 people. With the U2 concert canceled, it was actually pretty easy. Everyone is hankering?
You could hunker down.
Yeah, hankering for some Bono, so I dressed like 1991 Bono and just wandered around Lima in tight black jeans and a mesh shirt singing Beautiful Day. Without fail, every time I crushed the chorus and sang out the words, touch me, take me to that other place, some dude would toss me his panties and we'd go to that quote other place. My only regret is that in this case, the other place was the back parking lot of that skating rink down on South Broadway. So as I rode beef, I had a strange audience made of about 36 50 and over Hoosiers wearing Phantoms and jorts. Jerry Orbach was there, though.
He's dead.
He was having a skating birthday party. So that was kind of a bonus, I guess. Doug, one life, but we're not the same. We got to carry each other. Thanks, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops?
I didn't know Jerry Orbach was in town. It'd be fun to have him on.
Assistant Program Director.
He's deceased.
At a skating birthday party.
I'll give him a couple of check marks so he can stand.
Morning, fellas. Let me explain something to you. I'm a patriot. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in butt stuff. I believe in the healing power of lube. I believe in two men having the right to explore every orifice of one another.
I believe in fulfilling
all your lover's requests. I believe in breakfast in bed. And I believe tonight I will have Doug over and exercise all of these freedoms. Thanks, the hipster of Tower Grove South. Your leader.
It's just awful.
In September.
He got himself suspended. Hipster Tower Grove South, he got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. Thank you, Hotshots, for each of your 11 locations.
Howdy. I've been studying the protests all weekend, and I can tell you every incident of vandalism was done by a small faction of angry Mizzou fans. If you look closely at the video, you'll see every time a window was broken, it was done by someone in a Bumblebee jersey holding a sign reading Black and Gold Lives Matter. When hooligans trashed Salt and Smoke, you could clearly hear them chanting, "No justice, no meat," as they ran away. Even the Missouri mascot, Truman the Tiger, got involved. I saw him do 8 handsprings down the middle of King's Highway, pick up a tear gas canister, and throw it all in one motion. Mm-mm. Pretty impressive, really. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Tuesday morning, our eyes lock at the Merrimack Bottom QT. My heart skips a beat. Wednesday afternoon, we reach for the same avocado at the Schnucks on Butler Hill. His hand gently cups mine with a wanting feeling. I laugh and say, "Hey, how about that Bob Tway?" Thursday evening, he sees me on the Stairmaster at the Club Fitness in Arnold. He sides up to me at the port side Stairmaster. Politely, we both nod. After we finish, he says, "Can you believe that in 2017, we have grown men talking about B-double-O-B-S on CNN? He follows me to the sauna. We steam together. I feed him McDonald's fries. He says,
dip them in my boy mutt.
No.
I obey like a good boy.
No.
He bends over and says, take me. I obey like a good boy. That's from Peter Dinklage's fourth leg. That's a different.
He got himself suspended. Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Got off track real
quick. Got himself
quick.
Suspended. Yeah. Period of 2 days' time.
Had some momentum, and then it just went off the cliff.
I'm not sure exactly how to spell Dinklage. Dinklage's third leg. Okay. Let's just do the paperwork here. Okay. Thank you, Hot Shots, for the log, Yule. Thank you, Wright Business Products, for your wonderful ink pens. Hey, thank you, Wright. See you.
Guys, thank you for touching on the Emmys. This is Dan Beale.
Oh, Dan Beale.
Guys, thank you for touching on the Emmys and the leftist extremist talk. I also flipped on the Emmys last night and absolutely could not stomach it. I heard Colbert say one, quote, joke and had to ditch it. Sorry for the bland email. Just wanted to make that point. Thanks, Dan Beale.
Nice email, Danny. Nice email, Beale.
Hey, jabronis. I was PLTDing over the weekend. You podcast over the weekend, Doug?
I didn't.
And heard the convo about Sergio Dip. I started to think, what would Sergio say on the sidelines of my bedroom? Sergio, hi guys, I am in the room looking at Doug right now. I can see Doug. You can tell he is in the best shape of his life as you watch him on the screen. His diversity in bottoming and topping has helped him become ready for this moment. His gentleman lover has now wrestled Doug to the ground.
All right, that's enough! Who was it, Tim?
Sergio, dip my boy tongue in your fupa flap,
no.
A.K.A. Mae Young's newborn hand.
Mae Young's newborn hand has been disqualified, and he has been suspended. 2 days' time ought to do it.
Well, here we go. What you got?
Misty Plops, I thought, was not a great batch.
It was a bad batch with one great email, and that was Dan Beale.
I'm going to go Misty Plops.
Of course.
I think Dinklage was in the mix.
Misty Plops
has just closed the gap on the hipster of Tower Grove South. It's time for us to shut it down. It's the Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Congratulations to Misty Plops for shipping the Hot Shots. Email the Don't Forget Word Hot Shots on Thursday at Dorset, presented by Bud Select. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.